Testing. There it is. Good morning, church. I said good morning. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. To everybody here in person, to those joining online, God is definitely working today, I see. I feel like there's a spirit of expectancy in this building today. I feel like we expect God to do something. We expect God to move. And this is the position that the disciples were also in Pentecost. So I'm excited to be up here and give this message titled Power for Purpose. Amen. And I realized that, just throughout society, I realized that people are trying to heal marriages with self-help books. People are trying to fight spiritual battles with good intentions. People are trying to fight the problems and issues of this world with worldly things. But God promised that he would give us power. Amen. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. So before we dive deep into that, we always set aside 2 minutes just to give some hugs, right? And so you got 2 minutes just to find somebody you don't know and give some hugs. They say the average person needs 3 to 7 hugs a day to feel loved. And so go and get your hugs. Go and get your hugs. I gave you some more love. Hey, good morning. Yes, 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 yes. Morning, morning. Hey. God is good, and all the time, I said, God is good, and all the time, amen, amen, brothers and sisters. So, I have a friend of mine. She's going to come up, and she's going to pray over the service. She's going to pray that the Holy Spirit hits us, each and every one of us, exactly where we are, right? I met this sister about 2 years ago. She was joining our Bible studies that me and my wife had at our home. And maybe a few months after that, she lost her mom, right? And the one dying wish of her mom was for her to know who Jesus is. For any of my parents in the room, I know that that's our number one goal. I know for me and Michaela, that's our number one mission for Germany, is to make sure that she knows who Jesus is. It's not about the wealth. It's not about all these things that society pushes on us. But it's about making sure that they know who Jesus is. And so I'm going to invite up my sister, Ariana Webb. I know that her mom would just be just smiling at her right now. So can we give her a round of applause as she comes up? And I want to challenge you all today, if we could all stand as she prays, if you're feeling frisky, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kneel, right? I'm going to be on my knees because it's a sign of surrenderance. And God cannot fill you up in this room if you're full of depression, if you're full of shame, if you're full of doubt. And so we're going to set this time aside just for Ari just to pray. And if you're feeling frisky like me, I want you to raise your hands and you can get on your knees if you're able to.
So good morning. I'm very nervous, so give me grace.
Got it.
I would like everybody to just bow their heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the blessings of just waking up to see another day and being a part of your plan, Lord. I know we all have our battles in life. We have silent battles and things that we go through within our mind. I pray that everybody under the sound of my voice is able to understand that what you are going through is not something personal. It's just a lesson and part of the journey. I have endured such a journey in my life, but I know that there's a bigger purpose at the end. And I pray that you too are able just to hold on to faith, have grace, and to know that God is under control. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Yes. Love you, thank you. Can we just give God a 10-second hand praise? And hallelujah is the highest praise. So we say hallelujah. Can I hear somebody say hallelujah? Can I hear somebody say thank you, Jesus? Amen, amen. So next up, we got my nephew, Austin. My nephew, Austin, he's going to come up and he's going to share a little bit about his testimony. He's going to answer the question, how has God empowered you or guided you throughout your life? And I'm so proud of my nephew because when I first met Austin, he was an atheist. He didn't believe in Jesus. And to see God transform his life over the last 5 years is not something that any man could do. I still remember me and his mom texting back and forth, Jermaine, I don't know what to do, man. And God, right? God is the one who shows up, and pops too, right? And so this, I'm going to tell you all this. It's not easy coming up here. You know, Ari and Austin being like really letting the Holy Spirit use them to come up here in front of all you beautiful people. Y'all beautiful. I don't know if y'all know that, but y'all beautiful. But for them to come up here and share, like, you know, and pray, those things are really have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I remember leading up to this, me and Austin had many conversations the last 2 weeks, and the enemy has been fighting him, telling him you're not worthy enough, you're not good enough, all these different things that I'm sure everybody in the audience has experienced, or right? And so it's just crazy because Austin had to make the decision in his mind to not to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of his mind. Because the battle was where? The battle was in our mind, right? That's the only place that the enemy can fight us. But what did God promise us? God promised that he would send us his spirit. So you trying to do things on your own accord, on your own strength, on your own might, you're going to fail every single time. You need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us make decisions, to be the wise counselor that we need. Amen? I wouldn't be up here today if it wasn't for the Lord that was on my side. If he had not transformed me from the inside out, I would not be able to come up here with you today and be able to share all of these different things. Amen? So for my note takers, I got 3 points for y'all today. I'm going to give you some time to write it down. 3 points. The first point is the right time. The right time. We're going to see how God uses the Jewish holidays to show his divine timing. And then we got the right power. We got to have the right power, right? And then the right purpose, which we're going to learn a little bit later, that we all have the same purpose, but our ministries is different. Same mission, different ministry. Amen? So I'm going to reference a lot of scriptures today. And so I created this for you to just be able to take a picture of. I'm going to give you some time. Just to take a picture of this, I'm going to reference a lot of different things. This is for my note takers. You know, my wife, praise God for a wife, amen. My wife said, Jermaine, sometimes you be going too fast and we can't take notes. And so I'm listening to my wife, being obedient, amen, right? Okay, so I'll give y'all some time to take a picture. Good. Okay, now we're going to read. Oh, sorry, my bad. Let me go back, see? Look, not listening, look. We good? I said, we good. All right, cool. Pastor Ian told me if I don't get no engagement today, we gonna be here until 12. You feel me? No, I'm just playing. He ain't say that. Everybody wanna go on, you know, everybody wanna get out of here on time. Okay, here we go. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1-10. It reads like this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Shows unity. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Where did it come from? And it filled some of the house. The whole house. Okay, good. I'm going to make sure I'm reading right. Where they were sitting, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Some of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation, under where? When they heard this sound, a crowd came separately. They came together in bewilderment. Got to make sure y'all paying attention. You know, y'all know I'm a teacher, right? Okay, here we go. Bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each one of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. May God have a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Okay, so my first point for my note takers, the right time. God's timing is divine. Amen. Would you agree? His timing is divine. He does everything intentionally, right? Every step that he takes is calculated, right? And so we're going to jump back to the Old Testament and New Testament. So in the Old Testament, everybody know who Moses is? All right. Moses, there's this guy named Moses, right? Moses was actually, he was an Israelite that God had raised up. The Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians for 400 years. Somebody say 400 years? 400 years, right? So at the end of this 400 years, God had raised up Moses, right? And Moses had a death sentence on his life even before he was born. The Pharaoh of that time has said, you know what? The firstborn sons of the Israelites, I want them all to die. And so what they did was they went to go kill all the firstborn sons of the Israelites. Can you imagine? Anybody got sons in here? Can you imagine your firstborn son being murdered all because of what he believes in? Isn't that crazy? So the firstborn son died. Moses was the firstborn son from his family. And so what his mother did was she got a basket. She put him inside the basket, and she thought that his life would be safer if she pushed him down a river. And what she didn't know, because of divine timing, is that this river would lead to the house of the same person that decreed for them to die. So she ended up, so the Egyptians, or the king's daughter ended up raising Moses as an Egyptian. And as you can imagine, he struggled with his identity. He knew his skin didn't look like theirs. His dialect was a little bit different. He knew he wasn't like them, right? And so he grows up and becomes the prince of Egypt. He's the prince over the same people that decreed for him to die. And so what happens is he sees another Egyptian, one of his servants. He sees them beating on an Israelite, and he just it couldn't rest on his heart well. And so he ended up killing that guy. And as you can imagine, he ended up going to go escape because now he's a murderer. Why would an Egyptian kill another Egyptian over a slave, over a group of people that is inferior or less than? So Moses ends up going to go escape. And just like you and I, we go and escape, but God meets us right where we're at. As he's in the wilderness trying to escape, a bush is burning. He walks by the bush and it's burning. He realized that this bush is not, it's not being devoured. It's just on fire, and it's staying how it is. And this is a sign of the presence of God throughout the Bible that we're going to talk about. So God ends up speaking to him. He says, you know what? Take off the shoes that you have because the ground that you're stepping on is holy. And so Moses ends up having this conversation with God. Although you're a murderer, Moses, I need you to go to Pharaoh and tell them to free my people, to let my people go. I'm sure the story is starting to come back to you now. And so Moses goes to Pharaoh, and guess what? This is his brother now. So this is the brother that he grew up with is now in charge of Egypt. So he goes over there. He says, hey, bro, like these are my people. Like God said, you need to let them go, right? I'm sure he was probably like not that confident at the time. Hey, you know, hey, big bro, can you, right? And so I just imagine that, you know, obviously we know through the scripture there were 10 plagues that happened. And during these 10 plagues, the last plague was reversed. So the last plague was, you know what? You killed the firstborn son of the Israelites. Now we're going to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians. And so this is why we have Passover, because what God told Moses to do was to kill an innocent lamb, put the blood on the doorpost so that when an angel of death would pass over, it would pass over your home and eventually evade into the city of where the Egyptians are. And when they woke up in the morning, guess what? Moses' nephew, who he grew up with, was dead because they didn't put the blood on their doorpost, because God only gave that commandment to the Israelites. Amen? Is it starting to make a little bit of sense? So that's Passover. How does that relate to the New Testament and Jesus? Well, Jesus, if we look at 1 Corinthians, Jesus is the Passover lamb for us. Jesus willingly went up on the cross, was nailed, 4-inch nails put into his hands and put into his feet for you and me. So he died for you and I as the innocent sacrifice. And it had to be the Son of God. That's why John chapter 3 says, "For I'm going to send my only begotten Son." This was Jesus' only, his firstborn son, God's firstborn son, Jesus, that he sent to die for you and me. Amen? It's starting to make a little bit of sense? Okay, so we got Passover. So divine timing, right? Jesus is present in the New Testament, and we're seeing how it's related to the Old Testament. Then there's another Jewish festival called First Fruits. This is actually where the concept of biblical tithing comes from. So I don't know about y'all, but how I grew up, you're supposed to give 10% to the church. Right? My sisters would say, "I ain't giving 10% to no, I ain't giving 20% to no server, because nobody get more than God." Amen. That's what my family says, right? I'm like, you know, that's actually some pretty good logic. Right? So 10%, this is where the concept of tithing actually comes from, biblical tithing. And what it was in the Old Testament was, we want to give our best to God. God had blessed us with a great harvest, because back then they were farmers, right? That's just how it was. That was the time, right? They were farmers. And so they gave their first fruit, their best harvest, their best cattle, their best sheep, their best lamb, their best grapes. They gave it to God and said, "You know what? You blessed me with this. Here, it goes back to you," right? And that was the Old Testament. We call that first fruit. How does that relate to the New Testament? Jesus died. They hung him high and they stretched him wide for you and I, right? After he died, what happened? The story didn't end there. What happened? He rose. How many days was that? He rose in 3 days. And guess what? That was another Jewish festival called First Fruits. How is that significant, though? What are you saying, Coach Jermaine? That's significant because Jesus became one of the first fruits to resurrect from the dead. So now you and I don't have to be dead in our sins. Because the Bible says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that's alive in you and me. So guess what? That's good news, because you no longer have to struggle with depression. You no longer have to struggle with addiction. You no longer have to struggle with bad parenting or whatever it is, whatever you're personally struggle with, illness. You no longer have to struggle with those things, because God promised that he's going to send his spirit. Amen? And that spirit is the same spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Isn't that good? Can I get an amen? Amen, amen, amen. All right, so now I'm diving into the scripture, right? When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Together shows unity, and all in one place, which we're going to learn a little bit more about later. But Passover, so what happened? The Feast of Weeks. Let's actually talk about Pentecost now. So Pentecost, the Old Testament reference for Pentecost was, everybody remember Moses, right? He's going to come up consistently throughout the sermon. I'm just be honest. So Moses, he went up to Mount Sinai to go get the Ten Commandments. Everybody remember the Ten Commandments? I'm sure some of you got them in the bathroom in your house, right? I know growing up that my mom had the Ten Commandments, you know, in our house, right? So the Ten Commandments, he went up to get the Ten Commandments. And when he came down, guess what these knuckleheads did? They was over there worshiping a golden calf because God took too long for them. And so they said, "You know what? I'm going to find me a new God." So a little bit of more context is, when Pharaoh let the people go, they gave them gold, right? And when they gave them gold, they got this gold. And when Moses went to the mountain, Aaron, who was in charge, was his brother, he created a golden calf for them to worship. And so when he came down, God was about to, he was about to annihilate the entire race of the Israelites. That's how upset he was. If you don't believe me, read the scripture. I'm telling you. When I read it, I'm like, dang, God is really ruthless, right? He really ruthless. But it says, "Put no other gods before me." Do not worship false idols. But how many of us in this room worship going to the gym? We worship marijuana or whatever drug it is. We worship our relationships. We worship Netflix. Worship could be defined as what we spend our time to. If you spend more time watching Netflix and Amazon than you do in your Bible, then that's me. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to y'all. If you spend more time doing all these things than getting into your word, those things could be considered as idols. For me, my idol growing up was basketball. I would be in a gym. I wanted to be the best. I wanted to get a scholarship. My mom was a single mom. And so I was in that gym putting in work. But it became my idol. And then I read the scripture that said that a man's gift makes room for him and bringeth him before greater men. So, Jermaine, if it's meant for you to go to college and get a scholarship, it's not going to be how good you are in basketball. I'm going to put you in positions to where you're going to do it. And a short testimony of that is when I was in high school, you know, I was probably like 6 man, right? Didn't get a lot of playing time. I went to community college. I played maybe about 15 games, didn't get a lot of playing time, and I still end up getting a scholarship to go to college. Ow! It's all God's plan. Point one, the right time, divine timing. That makes sense? Okay, cool. So Pentecost. So he came down, right? So Moses came down from Mount Sinai. They was worshiping the golden calf, right? And after that, Moses said, no, God, it's all right. I got it. Let me handle it. God's like, all right, man, do what you need to do then. So what happened was Moses said, if you're really here to worship the God of Israel, come over here. And just imagine that all of you on this side say, you know what, I'm worshiping the God of Israel. And then you guys all come on this side with me. Now, I give you the instruction to go and kill everybody on that side that did not worship God, that worshiped this golden calf. That's what happened in the Old Testament. And guess how many people died? 3,000 people died during that time. Crazy, right? But that's not how the story ends. Let's move over to the New Testament. So Pentecost. The word penta means 50. What does penta mean? What does penta mean? Okay, 50. If we read the scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, how many days was Jesus alive? They know because we just did a Bible study on it. So y'all can't say. How many days was Jesus alive after he was resurrected from the dead? Hey, we got some Bible readers in here. What I'm talking about. Hey, see, look, he ready. That's what I'm talking about. So he was alive for 40 days, and on the 40th day, what did he do? He ascended to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. I always wonder, like, why did God ascend to heaven? Why he didn't just stay here with us, right? He was already resurrected. The reason why is because Jesus had to ascend so the Holy Spirit can descend. He promised that he would send a helper. He knew that he couldn't be everywhere all at once. And so he said, you know what? I got you. I'm going to send my Spirit. So now, when you and I, as believers, are gathered together in one room, the Holy Spirit is at work inside of all of us. And God is present. That's why we can go to a hospital. You might not believe it. We can go to a hospital, and because we have faith through the Holy Spirit, we can heal people. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Pentecost. So, okay. So we're now in Acts chapter 1. I'm just giving you background context to lead up where we are now. So Acts chapter 1, we know that Jesus was alive for 40 days. Right? He was seen by over 500 people, if you read 1 Corinthians, right? And now the disciples, he told the disciples, I need you to wait in Jerusalem. Wait, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, right? So 40 days, the word penta means 50. How many days did the disciples have to wait? They had to wait. We got some people that went to school in here, man. I'm just playing. But so they waited for 10 days, right? And during these 10 days, these guys are just like you and me. Guess what these knuckleheads did? They got some dice, and they said, you know what? Y'all know that Judas died, right? Judas had died at this point. He committed suicide. He hung himself from a tree, and because he killed himself the wrong way, his intestines burst out. If you read the scripture, everything I tell you, that's why I gave you those verses. Anything I say to you is going to be rooted in the Bible. It's going to be rooted in the Word. Amen? So he murdered himself the wrong way. He committed suicide the wrong way. His intestines burst out. So now there's 11 disciples. So the disciples said, you know what? I think we got to get back up to that number 12. It's just special. And so, you know, we got these two guys, Matthias and this other guy. And you know what? I'm going to roll some dice. And whatever number it lands on, if it lands 1 through 3, that's Matthias. If it lands on 4 through 6, that's this other guy. and Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. But how do we know that this was not led by the Holy Spirit? Because if we read the New Testament, the word Matthias is never mentioned again. He's never mentioned again as a disciple. And this is what happens in society, right? This is what happens in our own lives, is we roll the dice on things instead of realizing that I'm a believer of Jesus now. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I now have the ability to discern good from bad. So I want to encourage you to stop rolling the dice on things in your life. Stop leaving it up to chance, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you now. Amen? All right, here we go. Moving on. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, why is it important? So in the Pentecost in the Old Testament, it was meant to give instruction. The law was meant to give instruction, to show humanity how sinful we are, right? In the New Testament, the Pentecost was meant to infuse us with power. So instruction versus infusion, amen? So we talked about how many days the disciples wait, great. And I want to encourage us right now that's in that 10 days, that's in that waiting period, how the disciples were. Your husband or your wife is delayed but not denied. That job that you want is delayed, but it's not denied. The things that you want in life, if they're in alignment with God's will, God is he's allowing you to wait for those things. You may not have the best relationship with your son or your daughter. You may want to get a promotion at work. Whatever those things are, you may have issues with your sister or your brother, right? Or you may be getting some results. You may be scared to get a CT scan. All of these things, I encourage you to wait. But don't roll the dice while you're waiting. Understand that you being in this waiting period is not being you. It's not you being denied by God. You just need to wait. You're delayed. Amen? Okay, so the right time. Now we're going to move to the right power. All right, here we go. Right power. So suddenly, like the blowing of a violent wind, Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. So in the Bible, we realize that the words wind and fire are synonymous with the presence of God. If you don't believe me, go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It talks about how the Spirit hovered over the waters. Now, has anybody ever been on a boat in here? Anybody ever been on a boat? Okay, if you ever been on a boat or you ever been on the water, you realize that it's wind out there. It's windy, right? And that is basically showing us that the wind is it's a metaphor for God's Spirit. And then we talked about Moses in a burning bush, how the fire did not consume the bush. That's more proof of God's presence in the Bible. So next time you see wind and fire in the Bible, you're going to think God's presence. Amen? All right. So the Spirit's power is essential in our life, right? It's like without the Holy Spirit, we have information. And we see this on TikTok. We see this on Instagram and Facebook. We have a lot of people giving out information. Even Muslims, they actually believe that Jesus existed. They have the right information, but because they don't have God's Spirit, they don't have transformation. So the Spirit is meant to transform us, as Austin mentioned earlier. God transformed his heart. Amen? So I encourage you to let God transform you, right? Now, the example of this, and this is nothing like Brother Chip's car. Brother Chip got a real nice, you know, Cobra, you feel me? You know, Super Snake, right? The beautiful car, right? Kind of envious, but it's okay. A beautiful Mustang. My sister got a car like this, nice Mustang. And so this is an analogy. This is us. This is how we look as Christians to the world. We go to church every Sunday, raising our hands, doing worship. You know, we pray and we do little things like that. But what people don't see is this is actually what it looks like on the inside. We're a car without an engine. A car with no engine has no power. That means that it cannot move. And this is just like us as believers. We can go through life and go through this world, but if we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we won't be able to move or proceed with God's purpose. That makes sense? All right, so point three, I'm almost done, right? I'm almost done. God wants to use us to change nations, right? He wants to use us to break chains, the the generational trauma in our family, the fact that your dad wasn't a dad, your mom wasn't a mom, your sister, your big sister was not the best big sister. All of these different things, God wants to use us to be that change. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is through what? The Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, point three. Point three, and I'm out of here, all right? Better get some engagement or we're going to be in here, I promise. All right, here we go. So this is crazy right here. This is crazy right here. Okay, so they heard their own language. Acts chapter 2, verse 5 through 10. They heard their own language. So the Spirit was poured out on the disciples not to make them feel good, but to make them effective. Amen? So I was wondering, like, why were they speaking in other languages? Did anybody ever ask themselves that question? Like, why were they speaking in other languages? I didn't know before I started studying this. Why did they speak in other languages? So essentially what happened was, imagine all of us in this room, there's like a crazy loud noise. And then the neighbors from everywhere in the community, they come and they talk to us and we all speak English, but everybody over there, they speak Greek, Hebrew, Spanish. They speak many different languages. We start speaking in tongues in their language. That's what happened at this day of Pentecost. We start speaking in the language of the spectators. And the language that we're speaking is we're proclaiming the goodness of God. And I ask myself, why? Why was that important? It's so that the gospel could go global. And here's some proof. This was a cool picture I found. So in Genesis chapter 11, anybody heard about the Tower of Babel? Okay, this is the opposite of the Tower of Babel. So the Tower of Babel, humans said, and this is us, I don't know about you, this is me, you know, before I was a Christian. I'm so smart, we're going to build a tower, and we're going to build it up to heaven. This is what they thought. And so they built a tower, and they built it high, and then they were communicating with each other in one language. And then God said, you know what? Because of your pride, I'm going to have you speak Spanish, I'm going to have you speak Greek, you Hebrew, and he changed the language. And this is actually why we have different languages in the world today. It's because of their pride, God changed the languages. Isn't that good? Now, what happened in Genesis chapter 11 is actually the opposite of what's happening in Pentecost. So they were using language to divide people, but now in Pentecost, God is using language to unify people under his mission. That's crazy. It's crazy how God, he transformed people's language, but the most important thing is not the language. And I do want to address, that there are some denominations in Christianity that are fully leaning towards the Holy Spirit. It only leans towards speaking in tongues, right? Now, in 1902, there was this revival. Anybody heard of the Azusa Street Revival? Okay, the Azusa, Google it when you get some time. The Azusa Street Revival basically was these believers, they believed that the Holy Spirit was so strong that the Holy Spirit actually used them to speak in tongues for 3 months straight. And it was a massive revival that thousands of Christians end up getting saved, right? Now, William Seymour is the founder of this movement. And because of him, we have what's called Pentecostals. This is where that denomination is rooted from. And their beliefs is that if you do not speak in tongues, then you cannot be saved, which is the opposite of what we see in the scripture, because the scripture says all you have to do is believe in the Lord and you will be saved. And so here's some that I found online to kind of dress and show the whole picture. These are the gifts that you and I have access to because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to prophesy. We have the ability to heal the sick. One of my coworkers found out that he had a wilt. And so God said, you know what? Pray for him. I pray for him. He said, danger, man, you must have the gift of healing because now most of my welts are gone. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, right? It's because I believe, I have faith, right? We have the word of knowledge of wisdom. My childhood pastor growing up said he went to a job interview and he didn't know any of the math. He just started writing down random things and he ended up getting 100% and getting that job. That confirms what this says, the word of knowledge. He didn't know anything about this math, and yet he got all the correct answers, right? I do want to share a personal story. My mom, I wish she was here. She was a witness. Has anybody ever seen a real prophet before? Like, I ever had an experience with a real prophet? I know a lot of people say that they're prophets. Okay, So there was this prophet. My mom, it's actually my sister Gabby's, her friend's mother. I walked into my mom's house one day, and she just started speaking to me. And she also speaks to my sister, Jamisha. If you don't believe me, talk to her, right? So she tells my sister things that only her and God talked about in prayer, right? She's probably like 50, 60 years old, smokes cigarettes, somebody that you wouldn't think would be a prophet, right? But God used her to speak to me and to speak to my sister. So when I tell you I walked into my mom's house, you know, she was saying to Jermaine, you're going to do great things, all this stuff, right? But then she started speaking to me, and the power of God was so powerful on her that I started, like, backing away from her, and I ended up, like, getting on the ground because the things that she was saying, and she was so filled with the Holy Spirit that my flesh could not, it could not be in the same presence as her or as a spirit on her. So I bring that up to say, and then there's many other examples, like, God used me before to lay hands on someone, and those people start speaking in tongues. This happened on multiple occasions. My sisters and them, they was there. They could verify it, right? And I bring all this up not to highlight anything, but to show you that the Spirit of God is real. And there are some of us in this room that don't actually believe that healing exists. Some of us don't actually believe that God can do the things that he says he could do. But I'm here to tell you as a living example that God can actually do every single one of these things. There are prophets. There are people that can heal. And some of you in this room have these gifts, but you need to be taught how to use them, right? And so that's my prayer for us this Sunday morning, is for God to show us how to really dive into these gifts, how to really be the church. Because can you imagine this? If everybody in this room knew what their gift was and fully accessed it, what would the city of Antioch look like? It would be transformed. Because God gave us power to fulfill our purpose. Amen? Now, you may be wondering, I know this was me growing up. What is my purpose, Coach Jermaine? What is my purpose? Our purpose is actually all the same. It's to love God with all your heart, mind, body, spirit, soul, to love your neighbor like you love yourself, and to share the gospel. Now, your ministry is different than my ministry. My ministry is chosen training, chosen sports leagues, the business that God gave me to start, to use basketball as a way to show young people Jesus. And Austin is a byproduct of that, and so is Peyton. These young men wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the vision that God gave me in college. Some of you in this room have musical talents. You have talents about dance. You guys can sew. You can do all these different things. You know how to use tools. You have all these different gifts and talents, but yet we sit here. Why people in society are dying. They're literally committing suicide because they don't know what their purpose is. They don't feel loved. They don't feel cared for. But here you are in the church with all of these gifts and talents and abilities, and we want to turn on Netflix and Amazon rather than go into the community and volunteer at a school or volunteer in a nonprofit organization or use our jobs as an opportunity to preach the gospel. And I'm not talking to you. I'm only talking to myself. Amen. So I'm going to call the worship team up. And so this week, I just want to challenge you all this week to really allow the Holy Spirit to use you and ask him to guide you and show you what your gifts are. Pastor Ian and Megan, we can share with you guys after service. There's actually spiritual gifts tests that show you what your spiritual gifts are based on how you answer the questions, right? And so if this is you and you're like, man, like, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been a believer for this amount of time, or maybe you're not a believer and you want to give your life to the Lord today. If that's you, Michaela, I'm going to invite my wife up. Let us pray for you. Let us pray that the Lord uses you, the Lord transform you. And that's my time. Thank you.